Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region number 5, and we have a live show for you today. Today is a pre-recorded show, so you won't be able to call in today, and we will have a pre-recorded show because I have a very busy schedule for the rest of the day, so just needed to get things done for a little earlier. So you won't be able to call in. We should be back tomorrow live on air for call-in. So today is October the 27th, 2016. It is a Thursday, and we have a live show for you today. But before we get into that, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You can very easily do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and look for the digital crowdfunding digital black media that's there, and you can participate in ensuring that this network is going to continue to grow and continue to bring you and people like you and those that have decided to think for themselves and to investigate and to take back their overall sovereign free will that will be used in their energy that will be used for in the best interest of themselves, their families, and their community, and everyone that resonates in the likeness of them. And that is something that's very, very powerful, because no man can hold you subject to to anything that was created by them, can only hold you subject to what you surrender yourselves to. So let's take back our existence individually, one by one, and before long we will have something that we can all appreciate, and we can appreciate and respect each other, and all those other barriers can be easily broken. So Black Talk Radio Network is very, very important in my opinion, critical to that. And I say that, you know, many of us have been taught some very evil, malevolent ways that we ourselves need to purge ourselves of first and foremost before we can expect anyone else to see the example of that and decide that that is the course of emulation that we all should be taking, or that they will decide to emulate themselves. So everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy so that this network can continue to move forward and bring you some of the things that is so needed. Also, if you're interested in exchanging some of your cash some of your slave wage coupons for real money, you can go to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint, and do that, make that exchange there. Check out what they have in inventory. But I definitely say before you purchase, make sure you email wolf6pack1@gmail.com to make sure that you are understand the overall buying process. And so someone can actually help you out with that just to make sure you are getting and they can explain the process to you. Very important that you do that. So that was there yesterday. We weren't able, to get too much on what's in the news. Got a little behind. But we're definitely going to do that today. And so we're going over to BTR community. And also when you go to Black Talk Radio Networks, make sure you check out BTR Community in the right far right-hand margin. You'll see the B that's there, and that's the social media platform that has been established for you, so where your information won't be sold to the highest bidder or to any bidder, and you won't be adversely affected for your opinion. And it's just a more collective and a more appropriate way and prudent way for information to be exchanged, and that's important. Because, you know, they're not going to be asked who your friends are, what's your affiliation with this or what's your affiliation with that. So very, very important. So go to BTR, join, $24 a year, and that's very, you know, that's quite cheap. It's basically $1 every week. So very, very cheap, and support the network and be a part of that program. So yesterday, we have some things on in the news that I wanted to express to you all but wasn't able to do it. Let's go to the first one. It was from PressTV.ir, which is Iranian. PressTV, Saudi officials warn bankruptcy looms. This is very, very critical. There are many things that are happening globally, and this is one of the ones that we're definitely going to talk about this a little bit later. And how this actually could affect everyone. And so that was from Press TV. Check out that article because it really says a whole lot, okay? Next article that was from yesterday from Press TV also. Press TV, Iran inks deal with Germany, Swiss insurers. And I said another dollar hit. This is huge. The world is moving away from the U.S. dollar or having it as the middle person or the middle currency because – by doing that, their overall currencies themselves will reap the benefits of the transactions, and they won't have to pay basically global tax to the United States. Because when you look at the reserve currency of the world and the petrodollar of the world, that is nothing more than a global tax that is placed on the rest of the world just to do business, to survive and to thrive and to have development. They have to first ensure that they pay the taxes to the Western nation of the United States. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the things that the world has decided that is no longer necessary or needed. And this is enforced by fear, bullying, economic sanctions, and is also enforced by terrorist acts of war and actual means of aggression throughout history. And this is the truth. Like it or not, this is what's done. And for those of you that think that's appropriate, that's cool for you. But see, when these individuals now attack you, then don't say a word because you actually deserve it because you actually energized this whole thing and you are a part of the problem even more than those that do it because, you know, you can't control someone else's free will, but what you can do is decide not to participate in it. So it's very, very important that we see this for what it really is, and that's what it is this is a tax, global tax, and the world is saying no more. Next article comes from YouTube, and it was check out that one. It was from the anonymous group, has a lot to do with cyber attacks. Think it's important. Check that out. Also from Press TV, thousands rally in Brazil to denounce capitalism. Thousands of Brazilians have taken to the streets of the capital in Brasilia as Rio de Janeiro to protest the new president's reform plans, which believes are are akin to austerity measures, which you should be knowing here in the United States, austerity measures, we're going to be talking about that later. That's coming here. So major protest is going on there. Also, yesterday, posted inside a video from the U.S. Attorney General, one of the attorney generals in the United States, talking about cyber wars. Man, check out that. We posted it there. Tells you everything. And this is what we're going to be covering in today's show. Critical, critical, critical. Next one. Next article comes from RT, U.S. laying groundwork for assault in Syria. In the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, the U.S. led coalition is in the practice phase of an attack on a de facto ISIS capital in Syria. So this war is definitely expanding, and we're going to see some things that I think are going to be very critical in the future here. Next, this one comes from expressco.uk. Brink of war, UK sends tanks, drones, and 800 soldiers to the Russian border as tensions grow. Britain has sent tanks, drones, and 800 soldiers to the Russian border as tensions with Vladimir Putin intensify by the hour. The show of force comes just days after Russian leader's fleet passed just miles off the British coast. The British soldiers will train in Estonia in what is the biggest buildup on the Russian border since the Cold War, and Russia is responding to that exactly as we now. Next one from Press TV. The Philippines wants U.S. troops out in 2 years. This comes from the Press TV. Huge, huge moves that's being made here, and this is all a part of the divestment from the dollar hegemony and the geopolitical bullying that the United States has been. And no, let's really call it for what it's been. Far more than bullying, it has been acts of aggression, force, and terror. And it is all by the gun and by the economic weapons of war. And the world is saying no more do we have to put up with it. Next one from Bloomberg. Recession risk is rising. Deutsche Bank's chief U.S. economist warns. Next one also from Bloomberg. Deutsche Bank posts unexpected profit today for the third quarter on lower overhaul calls. But the market didn't really respond to it too well because of the economic or the legal crisis in it. And believe me, in my opinion, Deutsche Bank, deservingly so in so many things, but Deutsche Bank is being used and attacked appropriately for the future, and the U.S. is doing it. This is why I think you see some things in with German industry being attacked, and this bank is being won. As some of the politicians in Germany said, that the United States is engaging in economic warfare, and they can substantiate and validate that evidence because this is what has been done here for so long. Next article from the Durant. The war in Syria is a U.S.-led war of aggression. It's not a civil war. Couldn't be said any better. So true. Next article comes from Skywatch TV. The new Terminator arms race is on. Check that out. Check out that article. Next one. This comes from Conservative Daily Post. Breaking. China has just joined Russia. Then new alliances send bold message to the Obama administration. Check out that article. Next one. Very, very important one from Walking Times. Fukushima, the untouchable eco apocalypse. No one is talking about. So, so true. This is adversely affecting you. And then today's pre-recorded show is going to be about the cyber wars, the weapons of effective choice in today's world. So that is what we have on cue for. That's some of the things that we have inside of Tando Radio Show for today's show, and check out some of those articles. And this is a pre-recorded show, so you won't be able to call in today. But definitely, hopefully you will be able to, and you will be able to listen to this at Tando's radio show's normally scheduled time. But this is, in my opinion, a very, very important show. So before we get started in today's show, I'm going to get ready to go into a commercial break just a little bit early, but I just want to say this, is that there is a very keen and unspoken health risk that we all have by a virus that is very effective. It's terminal in nature if untreated properly. And this is a digital electronical virus known as malware, spyware, viruses, hacking. And this has a very profound effect on everyone's lives because it's been strategically and effectively pushed on everyone in a way where everyone has become their own worst enemy towards this. And because of that, we are thoroughly exposed to the destructive nature of cyber attacks. And think of how much, and we talked about this before in the first part that we were talking about with cyber attack. Look at your relationship with technology. Look at your relationship with smart devices, with computers. We think that, and as the Pentagon, one of the articles was speaking about the Terminator wars are here, and we're not really thinking about and really grasping and protecting ourselves from the things that we have effectively affectionately brought into our lives as essential. That being technology. I firmly believe the analog or the pre-modern technology days were more conducive to sovereignty and true freedom. And unfortunately, that window and opportunity and that way of life has been thoroughly destroyed. And we have participated in that from our overall accepting of the magic trick to make us believe that technology does so much for our lives. See, we can easily look at all the benefits of technology, but no one is really looking at the adversities and how this can be used as a weapon. So guess what? It is the perfect Trojan horse. It's the modern day Trojan horse that probably will be even more effective than that of Troy. So this is something that I think is quite important for us to grasp and to put into proper perspective and to prepare and protect ourselves accordingly from, even to the point to where some things, just because it provides you some comforts, some conveniences, and some opportunities, it may not be in your best interest, or it needs to be completely tempered to where it can't expose you in other things. In other ways, it can't be used as an effective weapon against us. And many would say, well, the cat is out the bag, it can't be returned. Well, whenever people think that, that is what they think they energize, so it is true. And until other people start to come to the realization that we need to move away from this and energize that and start to participate in, then those benefits from that will be reality. You set your course by the decisions and how you energize your free will. You can create your own heaven or hell. The choice has always been and it always will be yours. But what we have been taught to do from our schools is to relinquish our thoughts and give them to someone else so that they have the energy and the ability to direct our free will and our energy. Now they have your life completely and you don't have one. And you don't have one. So listen, everyone, we're getting ready to go into a commercial break. When we come out of the commercial break, there is some things I want to play for you that was about cyber attacks. This is not something that was on mainstream. Well, not mainstream. It's one of the alternative channels. And we'll talk about that. Very, very important publication about cyber wars and everything else. I don't think that you'll be able to find this on YouTube or anywhere else, this actual documentary. Very, very good. It's the Cyber War documentary. So when we come back out of the break, we'll jump into that. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we are live today, but this is a pre-recorded show. And I need the pre-recorded show today, October the 27th, 2016. So just, if you would, if you have some questions or comments, just hold on to them to when we're live where you can actually call in, and won't be able to do that today. So let me just log back in into the system because it always kicks me out. And we'll get to the commercials running. And then we'll come back and start today's very, very important show. And I think it's very critical that we start to really look at the wars that are being waged against us. World War III has already started. And I do firmly believe that it's going to move to global nuclear war one. And a big part of that is going to be because of the cyber attacks. And, you know, we're just 6 days removed from a very large cyber attack. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was, in my opinion, one of the gateways to the expansion of the war. So, hey, let's go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump right into today's show. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's Ando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. So we're going to jump into today's show, and let me set this up for you now. What we have here is it was a great series on I don't watch much TV, but I saw something on Vice, something called Vice TV, or Vice HD on cable, and it was a documentary. I like documentaries. I really don't really like watching any form of. I'm not a movie person or a real TV person. I don't like to engage in that, but sometimes it's good and there's a lot that's there. So I happen to see, and if I do watch some stuff, it's funny. I'll generally watch wildlife shows or documentaries on some things, So it's crazy when I do. Actually watch the Tell Live Vision, as Brother Davis calls it, and Brother Frax as well. So we saw this one series called Cyber Wars, and I definitely suggest that you all try to find it in pretty good documentary, or at least it gives you some information as to how things are working so that you can develop your own opinion. So what I want to do is we're going to start, I want you to hear the Cyber War series. And very, very critical, crucial, pay close attention, okay? So this is called Cyber Wars, and this was a documentary that was on Vice TV. Here we go.
Security holes in a piece of software.
I could have made all the transmissions go to neutral for a million cars.
They're unknown to their creators.
You can find it yourself, you can hire somebody to find it, or you can be attacked.
It can be exploited for covert attacks.
Our ultimate goal is not to attack, but to defend.
They're coveted by hackers and spies alike.
We are going to bring the full array of U.S. national power to bear to protect U.S. interests and those of our allies.
But what do they want them for? They call them zero days. Hackers hunt for them, but most people have no idea what they are. Put simply, a zero day is a flaw in a specific piece of software, a vulnerability that the software company doesn't even know about. That code could be running on everything from your iPhone to the webcam on your computer to the network protecting the Pentagon. And if these holes aren't fixed with new code, hackers can design exploits or figurative torpedoes to attack the software. Charlie Miller discovered one of the most mind-blowing zero days in recent history. He's a former NSA hacker and a world-renowned security researcher based in St. Louis. Back in 2015, he and a partner actually found a way to remotely hack into Chrysler models with a specific computer system. And they could do it from thousands of miles away. And it wasn't just turning the music up or jacking the AC. They could seriously mess up a car on the road. I got in touch with Charlie and asked him if he'd hack one of these cars while I was behind the wheel.
I'm Ben. Charlie, how's it going? So this is the car? This is it? Yeah, you ready to get hacked?
Yes. So what part of this car exactly did you target that was hackable?
So this part right here, it's called the head unit, and that's the part that we actually hacked. The fact it's on the internet meant we could talk to it, and there was a vulnerability that allowed us to actually get code running on it. We could do it remotely, but we told Chrysler about it, and they fixed it. So now you can't do it remotely anymore.
How long did it take for them to patch it?
Well, Chris and I told them about it, and for 9 months they were working on it. And then once we sort of publicized it, then they fixed it within a week. So it was, once everyone was really upset, they fixed it very quickly. So now I'm physically plugged into the head unit. Okay, so I can start showing you some stuff here.
What was the... I guess, more dangerous thing you could do to the car with this particular hack?
Probably the most scary thing we can do is when you come to a stop, we can make it to where then the brakes stop working and then you'll start going again. So we're stopped.
Yeah.
But now we're not stopped.
Oh, man. I don't like that sound at all.
Yeah, I know. So the brake panel just doesn't go down.
Jeez.
Do you want to see, like, some steering and stuff?
Yeah, I see some steering.
Okay, so get somewhere where we can go backwards.
So in reverse, you can...
Oh, yeah. Crank the steering wheel as much as I want.
And...
Yep.
That's safe.
Not really.
Is there ever a scenario where you think a hacker gets access to a vulnerability in a car that's connected to the internet that a million cars just could turn off?
I could have done that.
Just like that, even if they were driving on a highway?
I could have made them all the transmissions go to neutral for a million cars.
So including cars that are going, you know, 100 miles an hour?
Yes. You know, obviously that wasn't my intent.
Right.
My intent was to just demonstrate that
it could happen.
Right. Car companies are so new to this. Like, most car companies, it's, you don't even know who you would contact to tell them you found a vulnerability.
But the crazy thing is that even when researchers do tell a car company about a security hole in their software, they're often scorned for discovering it in the first place.
When people complain about people like me who find vulnerabilities, they don't realize that we're not putting the vulnerabilities in the product. They're already there. Reporting the bugs is what gets them fixed, and I mean, that's the good thing.
Do you find it ridiculous that companies won't pay for them? Like, Chrysler, they didn't give you anything, right?
No, I didn't really expect them. I think it's more ridiculous when huge companies that have been doing this for a long time and they've got $1 billion in the bank and, you know, they tout their security. Like, that doesn't make as much sense to me. Like, I was a consultant for many years and companies would pay me to come in and find vulnerabilities for them. And it's hard, right? If it wasn't hard, they would find all the vulnerabilities themselves, right? It's like, I feel like, you know, I worked really hard. I should maybe get something for that.
Charlie Miller didn't get a dime for his exploit, but a year later, Chrysler changed its policy. It became the first major car company to introduce a bounty program for hackers who find flaws in its software. And it's not just the Chryslers of the world who are willing to pay for them. 0 days can be worth a lot of money to a software vendor and the security companies who want to patch the holes. At the same time, they can be sold to private brokers for upwards of $500,000 to spy agencies or other covert operators to use them for surveillance or sabotage.
My career as a professional penetration tester, with those skills, obviously, you know, I could have been robbing banks and taking the money as opposed to being hired by the banks to see how they could be robbed, right?
Katie Mazuris is a security researcher who created Microsoft's first bug bounty program in 2013. She's based in Seattle, but I met her in Vancouver where she was attending a security conference.
People usually like to define them in terms of white market and black market, but black market actually implies that the trading is illegal. And right now, it's not illegal to trade 0 days or exploits. So I usually talk about them in terms of defense market and offense market.
And do you think then that bug bounties are the answer? Do you think hackers, when they find this stuff, they should be disclosing to the company?
Well, my goal with creating bug bounty programs is really about giving hackers more opportunities to not just turn it over to defense, but also make money at the same time. So they don't have to make a choice. Do I do the right thing or do I make money? They can do the right thing and make money. All software contains vulnerabilities. It's just a fact. There are three ways you can learn about it. You can find it yourself. You can hire somebody to find it or pay a bug bounty if someone finds it. Or you can be attacked, period.
Okay, everyone, just want to break it there real quick so we can just talk about this in phases. I hope you realize the importance of what's being disclosed here. What's being disclosed here is that you are completely vulnerable to this and is only going to continue to expand. Now, just so you know, this actual documentary that we're looking at is known as Cyber Wars, and it was on Viceland. I was like, I couldn't remember the actual thing, but it's on Viceland. This is on Viceland TV. So this is critical to our overall way of life in so many ways. Now, one of the things that you may have not been able to see was that when the gentleman was hacking the car was stopped, the brakes were applied, the car was in park, and was able to override the system and take the car out of park, and it was moving forward. The car was moving forward. So That was huge. So, you know, there was one person that actually said to me, Dave, they can't hack cars and do this and that. And see, this is the thing. When you don't investigate things, when you have blind faith, when you have blind faith in the system, what you really have is the overall intelligence of the foolish. It's foolish intelligence that you are working with. Because you generally people that don't know, if you don't know something, keep your mouth shut until you do some research to be able to substantiate or validate its existence. Because what we don't know can adversely affect us. I don't know many things. But some of the things that I do think that are important that I do try to find out about, I investigate. And one thing I don't do is that if someone is trying to expose me to something, I don't take a defensive nature against it because it makes me uncomfortable. So it doesn't really matter what you think. What you don't know can absolutely and has always hindered you. And it was pretty funny because this person was pretty adamant, and I basically there was a gentleman that was that I came in contact with, and he was, you know, saying that, you know, these types of things can't be done, and it was talking about hacking with cars and everything else, and then there was other things that led to another position. So what the thing is that sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's appropriate to prove to people. And so we were having a conversation. So I showed him some things that I don't want to disclose because it would make him extremely vulnerable. And then he took a defensive approach to it, and it has something to do with his overall finances. And I showed him and proved it, and he saw it, and he was mad. And then once again, people get mad at don't get mad at the messenger. So he was mad at the messenger. He wasn't upset about, he wanted to continue to live in the fantasy world of his make-believe reality that was not true. And he was upset. And I just had to finally say, I said, listen, it's more important that you learn these things so that you can protect yourself. Else you're going to be stuck here for the rest of your life because you just can't figure it out. And that is so true. We need to start figuring things out. Else we're going to be stuck here in this position for the rest of our lives because you just can't figure it out. And there's a lot of figuring out that we need to do. So with that, one of the other things in this whole cyber attack, what you couldn't see is that after the vehicle, the brakes were taking off, the gentleman told him to stop the car in a place where he could back up. So he did. He put it in neutral, stopped the car, put it in neutral, and he hacked the vehicle and was able to get the vehicle to go in reverse and turn the steering wheel with the person's hands. It was just free. They don't need – you can hack a vehicle and make it drive. A driverless vehicle in today's world. That same technology can be used in a malevolent way against you. The doors can be locked and speed can be increased, decreased, or steering can be maneuvered. If you heard what he said about a vehicle's going 100 miles per hour, yeah, so if vehicles were going 100 miles per hour, you could put it in neutral. And he said, yes. But it wasn't my intent, clearly. Or was it? Is this the heads up that they're giving you before other things start to play out? So let's get back to Cyber Wars that's being brought to you by Viceland TV. Here we go.
At the CanSec West Conference in Vancouver, hackers are invited to find new ways to break into widely used software like Safari and Adobe Flash. Here at a competition known as Pwn to Own, the teams face off for nearly $500,000 in prize money. Some teams have been working for months in advance developing and testing their exploits. The flaws they find will be disclosed to the vendors so they can be patched.
Whitey,
Ben?
I met up with a volunteer named Whitey who agreed to show me around.
Oh, no. So is one of them going down right now? Right here?
Yeah, yeah. So this is, it's actually starting up now.
We have 10 cent security team sniper, team lab, and PC manager. The target is Adobe Flash with system.
These guys are trying to break into a computer using their zero-day exploits for Adobe Flash.
That was really weird.
You know, it's kind of like architecting a program and then getting that
3 seconds.
To get it and make it run perfectly.
Yeah.
They did it in 3 seconds.
And, you know, it might seem anticlimactic. It's, you know, it's definitely not hacking that you'd see in a movie, stuff like that.
Oh, no.
But this is the real thing.
And yet, what they just did could, like you said, end a company.
No, it could end a company. It could wreak havoc, you know, across the Internet. Tencent security team Sniper was eventually declared the masters of Pwn. The Shanghai-based researchers who work for China's biggest internet company won this ridiculous smoking jacket. They also collected more than $142,000 in prize money. I met up with them after a super tame hacker rap party.
See one Pwn down? How's that feel?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Relaxed now.
You're relaxed now?
Yeah.
Were you not relaxed before this?
The day before, not very nervous.
Could you have sold those 0 days to somebody else and gotten more money? And if so, why didn't you?
Yes, actually during the Tencent conference, so some of the private companies come to us.
So somebody actually approached you guys during CanSec West to pay for some of the exploits you had.
Yeah.
Who were they?
No comments.
And you didn't do it. You didn't want to do it.
Yeah, no, we never do it.
Now, the ones you found, the 0 days you found, what do they affect?
When the user browses the internet, if such bug is involved, it can take the user's control and even get a system privilege, which means it will take full control of the system. Our ultimate goal is not to attack, but to defend. Yeah, but if you want to defend and protect more on the user, you need to find the most advanced attacking way. Otherwise, you will never know how to defend the user.
For the rest of the year, if you find 0 days, what do you do with them?
They got quiet.
We use the official channel opened by the vendors.
And you report it?
Yeah, report it.
Okay. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. And when we come back out of the commercial break, we'll pick up where it left off. What happened there was that they have these hacker conventions. This is the new battlefield. And everyone is so exposed to this. You notice when they asked about the 0 days, when they find them, what do? All five, and there was five gentlemen that were there. It was four gentlemen that were there. They all got immediately quiet. Why? Because this is being sponsored by very keen and malevolent people, and they're letting you know. And what the key to a trap is to gain someone's faith, confidence, and to exploit their vulnerabilities. And that's what we're seeing happen here in the cyber world. The technology from FedBook to smartphones for dumb people to smart technology
for bringing energy and everything. It's not smart at all, ladies and gentlemen. It is a tool of control. Didn't create it, so you have no control over its direction. So very, very important that we know these things. So let's prepare ourselves accordingly to minimize our exposure to such type of behavior as much as you possibly can, I think, is the best way to deal with this. Hey, getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we're looking at the new battlefield, cyber attacks. And it's by no coincidence that one of the largest cyber attacks, and is going to be expanding, happened just 6 days ago. And I've been saying since we've been on air, the initial attack that is going to be a part of World War III is cyber attacks, and is going to come on Fridays, and it'll come in my opinion, by way of the financial markets, which the last attack really was able to creep into, was actually ingested into all of, in my opinion, all of the financial networks. And even if that one wasn't, there's been seeding of those, because you've had cyber attacks in banks, in the financial market, in the NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange. You've had it in all over the world, and they're all telling you that this is going to happen. Something's going to happen. So at the appropriate time, whomever can use this to their advantage, they will. And the thing about this is, you'll see in these documentaries how broad this is. It is the perfect crime. It is the perfect way, in a very effective and efficient way, to establish control over people. The boundaries and the prisons of today's world are now established electronically. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. Then we go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll get back into the show known as Cyber Attack, from a documentary that was on Viceland. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we're taking a look at the effects of cyber wars and what they could do. And, you know, just before we went to the commercial break, there was some young men that won a hacking event. And these guys look like the regular Joe because, you know, things have no – I don't like to stereotype anything. And in today's world – this is so vast. It's so many people involved. It is involved in hacking that is a force multiplier for those that want to actually control even more. They can do that. Let me tell you, I don't have much faith in the internet because I didn't create it. It was brought to you by CERN. And if you look at what CERN is all about and their overall rituals and their overall scientific goals and objectives and the methods at which they achieve those, you shouldn't have faith in it either if you are a person of strong moral loving convictions and you resonate within the high frequency of love and you identify that the importance of every living thing having its own sovereign freedom and direction based off of the will that was given to it by the great creator. CERN was the part of the entities that established, a part of the entities that established the internet. Don't fall for that Al Gore stuff and all that other hogwash. These celebrity figureheads just do what they're told. So when you start to watch this and hear this documentary, you'll see the importance of what's really a major, major, the preferred attack of today, tomorrow, and into the future, and forever now. We must return to a system where no few people or a collective group of people can control the masses of people. Technology has its place. Technology has its place. And when it gets out of place, you will have the destructive nature of that technology become the primary direction and source of its workings. And this is what we have now. We just don't see it as much because we love our phones. So let's get back to the documentary.
Vancouver for a computer security conference. What I'm really after is more intel on shady zero-day markets. People here tell me I should speak with Emerson Tan. He's worked for a major government contractor, but he's also been a part of the hacking community for years. Tan is a self-described recovering dark lord, at least according to his LinkedIn profile. I want him to show me what the marketplace for these exploits really looks like. So can you buy exploits in the black market? Online? Dark web?
Well, it depends what you mean. But so exploits, as you know, come in a couple of different flavors. There are the ones that have already been patched, and then there are the ODAs. You wouldn't bother, if you're a criminal, you wouldn't bother buying ODAs.
No?
Far too expensive. They're very, very expensive. It costs a huge amount of money to test them to make them reliable. If you're a criminal, you just want the thing that works and for the lowest cost for the maximum return.
Well, see it. What's it look like?
Let's have a look at a real forum. It's the world's worst web design. It's really cheap and cheesy, and they don't care.
So you can go on there, you buy an exploit. And usually that's an exploit that hasn't been patched.
Well, no, it has been patched.
Or it has
been patched. What you have to remember is that huge numbers of people around the world do not patch their systems, do not patch their software, especially given that a huge amount of the software out there is not legally bought. It's all stolen. It's all nicked. That stuff never gets updated.
So that in that way, you still have a huge attack surface.
Yeah, thousands, millions, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. I mean, like this is brilliant. This is an Android phone, my Android phone. People put all their personal details and stuff on there, and they, you know. Everything you need to go and steal their identity is brilliant.
But in terms of zero days,
did you hear how excited he got when he picked up his Android? And he was giving you a hint by the voice deflections of how exposed you are to that smartphone system. He said the Android system, and I'm pretty sure it's all of them. And he was basically saying that this is what hackers love, because you got all of your information here. And hope you picked up on that. So let's get back to it.
There is no site where you can buy a zero day.
I mean, I'm sure they exist, but to be perfectly honest with you, if you were a researcher, and you really wanted top dollar, you wouldn't bother with this open marketplace. You'd go and talk to a broker. I mean, like, the thing is that this community is tiny. They all know each other.
The brokers know the spies, the criminals,
and the researchers. And then depending on where you are in the world, that's the community that you sell to. It would be very, very odd, for example, for, you know, like a Russian researcher to, you know, like to try and sell to a broker who is, I don't know, working for the Americans. And, you know, in somewhere like China or Russia, you know, selling to the opposition will get you a visit from some men in very ill-fitting leather jackets, maybe with a hose or a baseball bat.
Right. Have you ever dealt with an intelligence agency?
We'll shuffle that question off to the side. I can neither confirm or deny, which is Beltway speak for some answer other than no. So here's the weird thing, though, is that almost everybody has done it.
Yeah.
At some point. If you ever meet any...
Okay, I had to stop it there. Give you a little clue. Once he says that I can neither confirm or deny, that means that he's been taught to say that from within the community that he was asked, has he been approached by? Of course he's been approached by the intelligence community. And he had the appropriate response as to, he's telling you, when he says I can neither confirm or deny, that is the language of the intelligence community, the military, industrial complex. This, hope you're reading between the lines here, folks. So let's get back to it.
Well,
I hope you're reading between the digital algorithms and the keystrokes that are being pushed here. Here we go.
Anyone who says they're whiter than white, they're lying.
One of the reasons that researchers are so easily tempted to sell zero days to spy agencies is that governments are willing to pay a high price just so they can hack specific targets. Finding a zero day can also earn you a big payoff from software companies who buy them in order to patch the holes in their products. Apple recently announced it would pay bug bounties that range from $25,000 to $200,000, depending on the vulnerability. Some bug hunters do that work as a side gig, but a select few can actually earn a living finding zero days. Mark Litchfield is a professional bug hunter who says he's earned hundreds of thousands of dollars in bug bounties over the past few years. I had to
really, really pay attention to this guy. Well, both of the last one and this one pretty much caps it all. Here we go.
To the gated community outside of Las Vegas where he lives and works.
Oh my. Wow. He's got that baller gated community life. Hello.
How you doing? Hold on a minute.
No problem.
They say no. The association said no. No cameras. Can't go back there unless he get it clear with them, and I don't think so.
She showed up in a golf cart. What do they think we're doing? Do you remember when the White House and the FBI was easier to shoot in?
We didn't manage to penetrate the perimeter of Mark Litchfield's gated community, so we met Mark and his wife, Carly Lynn, at a nearby restaurant.
Mark?
Hey, mate. How you doing?
It's me.
Sorry about all that trouble.
Hey, no problem. How was the trip?
I'm bad. It was good. It's me. Yeah, it's good. I didn't realize it'd be that secure.
It's a gated community, I guess.
Yeah, it was, they brought the whole, like, golf cart brigade onto us.
Yeah, they actually come up to the house.
I half expected them to be armed, but I don't think they were. Is it tough to make a living off of finding zero days? You seem to have a pretty good lifestyle here.
Yeah, I did okay.
What's the most you've ever gotten paid for one zero day?
On the bug bounty programs is $15,000.
Just for one?
Just for one, yeah.
Okay, so let's say you're doing your thing in your house,
mm-hmm.
and you find a zero day in a particularly large user base software.
Okay.
What do you do with it? Do you report it?
Interesting question. The first reaction would be yes, report it. Absolutely. But the second part of this is with everything that's going on right now, My personal view on this is some states could make better use of this bug than just giving it to the vendor.
Okay. So what do you mean by what's going on nowadays?
He is telling you how vulnerable you are with everything that's going on right now. So please really pay attention to what this guy is telling you in between the keystrokes, because no longer can we read between the lines, because there are no – the analogs of writing has been destroyed, and now it's all the algorithms of the cyberspace. So read between the keystrokes and what this gentleman is saying. Very, very important. We're going to get back to it.
ISIS, North Korea, I mean, so much crap going on. If an opportunity came my way whereby I could give a zero-day vulnerability to an agency, whoever, someone that could use this, then I would absolutely give it to them and not report it.
Have you ever done that before? Have you ever sold a zero-day to a government?
No.
If you did sell to a government a zero-day, would you tell me?
No.
A good poker face for a guy who lives in Las Vegas?
I don't play poker.
All right. There was a lot that was said there by this guy. Now, one of the things I firmly believe is that, in my opinion, for him to go on TV is very telling, and I think it's purpose-driven. And the purpose-driven, the nature that I think it's about is because it's a setup, it's disclosure, or it is disclosure from this standpoint, not where they're admitting to any wrongdoing, because it is definitely wrongdoing that's here. But it is they're telling you before something happens because it best serves the interest in the whole thing. So there's a reason why this was aired. And there's a reason why it was made available, because they always tell you before something happens. And this is another case in point where they're giving you clues as to what's going on. And if you really paid attention to what he was saying, he was not talking about anything corporate. He was talking about sovereign cyber attacks. With everything that's going on right now, and he's basically telling you, and the other gentleman before told you, how exposed you are to this whole thing. So this is more than – this is a clue as to what you can – start to anticipate. So let's we're going to get back to everything, and then very, very important, extremely important show. So let's, here we go.
Unpatched flaws in software can be used to hack into almost anything that runs on code, from a smartphone to a car. Those flaws, known as zero days, are bought and sold to companies and governments. The U.S. sometimes uses zero-day exploits for attack purposes, but there are also official guidelines about when they're supposed to be disclosed to the software vendor. The rules are an attempt to balance the public's interest in protecting Internet safety and the government's interest in acquiring intelligence.
So you can certainly imagine that if we discovered that and learned about a vulnerability in, say, a piece of software that was either widely used within the U.S. government, our allies, or within our critical infrastructure, that it might be in our interest to actually purchase it so we could make sure that there was a patch for it.
I went to Washington to meet with Michael Daniel. He's a cybersecurity coordinator in the Obama administration.
And when does, say, the NSA sit on a vulnerability?
If you sort of look at those criteria for disclosure and imagine the inverse, right, that you've got a situation where we have a vulnerability that's in a very limited set of software or hardware that's not used very broadly, that might be frequently employed by our adversaries, that would provide us a unique access that we can't get any other way. Those are the kinds of things that we would retain.
Michael Daniel wouldn't get more specific about the type of 0 days the government holds on to or the number.
What I can say is that, you know, we are going to bring the full array of U.S. national power to bear to, you know, protect U.S. interests and those of our allies.
But not everyone is comfortable leaving it up to the U.S. government to judge what to do with a 0 day. Chris Segoyan is a privacy activist who tracks the 0 day market, and he's been sounding the alarm for years.
Why are you so critical of companies that are selling 0 days to the U.S. government or any government?
You know, I really feel that there should be a public debate around the government's role in the 0 day market. I've been really bothered by the fact that for 5 or 10 years there's been a conversation in Washington, D.C. about cybersecurity, that this was a missing piece. And this is an essential piece.
Who are the U.S. government agencies targeting when they're using zero-day exploits?
You know, it really depends. So for the NSA, that could be foreign leaders. It could be foreign corporations who have information that the U.S. government believes is of national security interest. It could be terrorists. On the law enforcement side, you know, the FBI has attempted to hack people who've downloaded or shared child porn, people who've called in bomb threats to schools. It really runs the range of the most horrific and serious crime to things that are, you know, sort of teenagers making prank calls at home.
Because I guess it's the thing, though, is it's easy to be very critical of it because it sounds on the surface pretty malevolent, but then there may be instances where 0 days used to hack into a terrorist computer. It's the classic argument, right?
I'm less focused, I'm less interested on who they use it against and more on what are the side effects of the government's acquisition and stockpiling and use of that vulnerability for that exploit. A couple years ago, protests in Ferguson happened, and Americans, you know, wake up to their morning newspapers showing photographs of armored personnel carriers, police wearing camouflage, holding machine guns, and realizing that suddenly their law enforcement had become militarized. They got to see the trickle-down effect, where technologies that are designed for the military and the intelligence community eventually trickle down first to the feds, then to state and local law enforcement agencies. And this has happened with armored personnel carriers, it's happened with tear gas, it's happened with SWAT teams and drones and license plate readers, and it will almost certainly happen with 0 days. And when you give those tools to people who are going to be operating them without much training and without much oversight, you know, we're going to see abuses. We're going to see police officers spying on their ex-spouses or their, you know, their next-door neighbor who's pissing them off. I don't think that America's ready for local cops to be hacking into computers, but we are definitely on our way there.
But it's not just the local cops. Spy agencies and hackers everywhere want them, and they're not just for surveillance. They can be weaponized to take over any physical object running on code, from a cell phone to an SUV to a power plant. And that means that if 0 days fall into the wrong hands, they can be real threats to your privacy, individual freedom, and even personal safety. But as it stands, there's no real consensus on whose hands are the wrong hands.
Okay, everyone. Wanted to very good end to it all, but I'm never going to give you what's politically correct, because politically correct is always morally wrong. The reason why this is such a problem from any person having this type of capability is because you don't know who that person is. You don't know their moral convictions. You don't know their agenda. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you have never seen a business that was successful to go out of business. Enslavement and subjugation of people was big business that has revolutionized itself in different forms and fashion. And it's gone from the chains of the plantation fields, where kidnapping continues even to this day, but has also moved into the currency, and now has moved into the algorithms of the digital world. The same agenda, the same objectives, with different methods, are being waged against the everyday person. There is no, see, what they always want to give you is the excuse that they are using this to protect you. And that protection is the protection to maintain the overall ways and means. Your way of life provides for their means of life. The history, the evidence of how governments throughout the world have always been the seat of all forms of organized crime has just been cemented once again by the cyber wars in cyberspace. And this is what's going to continue. Now, what I want to do, there is another one on cyber wars. And I would definitely highly suggest that you all, if you see it on Viceland, definitely make sure that you start to, because it gives you an idea of what's happening. And what I want to do is there's another one that's very, very important. Then there's one more after that that would need to play that's really, really necessary. And we're going to bring this because this is what is being used against us all. Now what I want to do is we're going to get into, for the last hour of the show, we're going to get into, oh, wow, time is flying, the last 20 minutes of this last one, and then later on we'll bring the other part of it. This is a sovereign attack from a different standpoint so that you can see the fullness of the today's new battlefield. And though they will use the old form of battlefield at the appropriate time, but the war has already been waged in cyberspace, and that is going to dictate what the former prehistoric battlefield will shape out to be. So let's go back to cyber wars. Here we go.
Companies swipe our corporate seats.
Two powers compete to dominate the global market.
We know foreign countries and companies swipe our corporate secrets.
China breaks the rules in its quest to become the world's economic superpower.
There's two types of companies left in the United States. Companies that have been hacked by China and companies that don't know they have been hacked by China yet.
Chinese hackers breach American corporations under direct orders from Beijing.
This is oftentimes a military operation, you know, disobey orders in the military.
Billions of dollars worth of U.S. trade secrets are stolen every year.
The people behind the keyboard think they're anonymous, and these charges show you are not.
What will it take to stop the theft? In July 2015, the Washington-based U.S. Office of Personnel Management announced that the private record that kept in more than 22 million American civil servants had been stolen. The U.S. government never formally blamed China, but plenty of unnamed officials made the accusation in the press. Bill Evanina is in charge of combating foreign intelligence threats for the U.S. government.
I think the intelligence community feels pretty confident. We feel who's involved, but I'm not quite sure the administration has yet come out and identified or attributed that data, but we're pretty confident we know who is responsible.
What did they take?
What they stole, the perpetrators, were the SF-86s and SF-85s, which are the standard forms in which employees fill out to obtain security clearances. On those forms had a lot of proprietary information about you, who you live with, your social security number, your date of birth, what schools you went to, your employment history. So a lot of significant personal identifiable information that we consider very sensitive.
And how long will the intelligence community in the United States be feeling the ramifications of this?
Oh, I'm not sure I could put it in terms of years, but I would say maybe decades. I don't think this is anything that's going to be over in a year or two. I think the data that's on these forms can be used to target U.S. government employees and contractors for many, many years.
Were you personally?
Absolutely.
Right. You were personally impacted by it?
Absolutely. So I am one of the 22 million victims that have been identified in the OPM intrusion. So all my personal data from when I filled out my original form and subsequent background investigations that I've gone through has been compromised.
How does that make you feel?
Like a victim.
Even though OPM was bad, it was classic espionage. Most countries would do it given the chance. But hacking U.S. corporations to make money off of their property is another story.
We've agreed that neither the U.S. or the Chinese government will conduct or knowingly support cyber-enabled theft of intellectual property, including trade secrets or other confidential business information for commercial advantage. In addition, we'll work together and with other nations.
President Obama has reason to be concerned. For years, Chinese hackers have been a problem for American business. But most companies kept quiet about it, and then Google broke the silence on their blog in January 2010. The American technology giant had been hacked, and China was to blame. But Google wasn't the only company targeted. It was just the first one to go public. A slew of other Fortune 500 corporations were also hacked in an attack now known as Operation Aurora.
What was interesting about Operation Aurora wasn't that it was some kind of new attack. It was that it was the first time an American company had had the courage to stand up and point the finger at China and say, we know you did this.
Nicole Perlroth is a cybersecurity reporter for the New York Times, and she's written extensively on Chinese hackers.
And Google, as open as they were about who had done it, they've been relatively closed-lipped about what exactly was stolen. But the word on the street is that the Chinese were actually able to get a fair amount of Google's source code.
That source code could help Chinese hackers break into Google's products or to replicate them in the future.
What do we know about Chinese espionage?
We know that China has basically made it a core part of its economic mission to stop being the world's manufacturer and start innovating. Every 5 years, you see a new industry that China wants to excel at, and suddenly you just see a rush of cyber attacks towards whatever industry China has said that it wants to dominate in. It's paint formulas, it's Coca-Cola's negotiation strategies, it's think tanks, it's diplomats, it's university professors, it's law firms.
People have started to realize that this actually has become a serious issue, or?
I think it made people realize that some of the most vibrant companies in the United States were major targets, but I think it took another 5 years for companies that thought, why would we ever be the target of a state-sponsored Chinese cyber attack, to wake up and say, oh shit, we've been a victim too.
But how was everyone so sure China was behind Operation Aurora? I went to Washington to talk to Dmitry Alperovich, one of the first people to analyze the attack. He worked with many of the companies who were affected.
How was it done? It was actually pretty ingenious. So they actually identified people inside the organization that they were able to approach and social engineer them to click on a link.
So you're talking about phishing emails with malware payloads.
That's right. In some cases, it was actually innocent message, not even an email, that once you click on that link, your machine is compromised and the attackers take over.
And how did you figure out it was China?
Once we started tracking all the machines that were involved in the compromise, and there were these multiple of machines that were set up for command and control, and where the connections into those machines were coming from, we started to see signs that were pointing to Chinese activity. And later on, as we expanded the investigation, we started to uncover other activity that we were able to tie together to this group that we now call Aurora Panda, a Chinese nation-state group that is really conducting, to this day, espionage activity into numerous organizations, government agencies, as well as private sector organizations across the globe.
Operation Aurora offers a glimpse into how Chinese hackers work within the country's government, or more specifically, its military branch, the People's Liberation Army, otherwise known as the PLA.
All right, I wanted to stop it there real quick. And one of the things I wanted to point out was that all of these people have a vested interest in cyber attacking you. From regardless of they say they're here to protect you and this and that. The one gentleman said that he was compromised in the government when Aurora took off, and they were part of the 22 million people here in America that was compromised. See, they're trying to say it was an event that compromised them. They became compromised as soon as they established themselves within the system. And this is just like voting. The difference if you go and you vote, if you don't know and you can't authenticate the count of the vote, and if the overall voting process has been squandered or taken over or infiltrated because there is no real candidates and there is really no election process. See, this is the facade. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. And then as they make you believe these things, you get involved in them. You have blind faith in the system. And then you feel that being a part of it is the only way that you can facilitate the ends to the means. And then you are compartmentalized and put into and used as a pawn to perpetuate the true nature of it all. From the all of the institutions that are established around the cyberspace, from the security to the protection to the detecting, it has now become a vested interest that people have, when the true solution was that the dismantling of all forms of controlling mechanisms that we've decided to interject and allow to maintain in our lives is the answer to it all. So I just wanted to make that point. Regardless of who these people say that they are, if they understand that they are, and I don't know what their true nature is. Some of them could have some very benevolent, intentions. Very, very well. Because there's much more to what we just think based off of the limited view of things that we have. But this whole thing is set up to continue to feed itself from within. And this is why it grows in the way, in the fashion that it grows. So just know all of these people are smiling because of the vested interest that they have in it all. So let's get back to it.
With these types of actors, they get in and they want to stay as long as possible because they have a collection priority. And even if they get discovered and kicked out, oftentimes they're back in or trying to get back in the next day because they still have a mission to do, right? This is oftentimes a military operation. You have a PLA general that's coming to you as a soldier in the PLA saying, I need you to get this information from me from this company. And you don't stop because it's hard. You don't stop because you've been discovered. You keep on going because you were given a mission by your boss to do so, and you don't disobey orders in the military.
They need to achieve that objective.
Absolutely.
The hackers deployed malware using an unfixed flaw in Internet Explorer.
This is a real spearfish we detected at one of our customers. So let's go to our victim machine down here. I have an email that's arrived from a good friend of mine. There's a Word document attachment that I want to take a look at. So who wouldn't click on this? I certainly would. So we just had the connection from the victim show up here. So this is our machine, our victim machine, that we are able to take over. I can go to this wonderful file manager, which looks like just any file manager you would normally have. So I literally can just highlight this and click receive, and it sends it over to my machine. That's as easy as it gets.
Operation Aurora showed that China was hacking some of America's biggest companies, and many of the attacks were attributed to hackers linked with the People's Liberation Army.
Bridget M. for mature.
Okay, everyone, real quick. So now you're starting to see how the information in the emails during this selection cycle that other people will call the election cycle, how relevant it is. And I would ask you, or is this just a part of the stage that's being set so that we would only think that in the selective emails that are being released, they really serve a bigger intention and purpose? I think that that's more of the case, because what's held in secret stays in secret, and it won't be divulged in the way that it will be easy for the everyday Joe to find out. So I think that's more of the truth. And this is another tool that is being used against us. So, hey, everyone, let's let me just set up, and then we'll get ready to go to a commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll jump back into the cyber war. So you're listening to, make sure that set all set up here. Yep, you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we'll finish the last part of this. And once again, today is October the 27th, Thursday, October the 27th. This is a pre-recorded show for Tando Radio Show. Again, we'll go to a commercial break, so you won't be able to call in, but we will definitely need to have a conversation about this much later. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., and today's show is about the cyber wars, and this is very, very important and critical because this is what we are being adversely affected by. In the beginning of the show, I talked about a disease, a condition, a virus that is affecting us all, and it is digital of nature. And this one has spread its tentacle into all of our lives. Our children are fully inundated, and if they're fully immersed in its potential, and this is only going to grow. And as we talked about in the beginning of the show, Soon From Here brings in the artificial intelligence and the expansion of artificial intelligence that will be waged against humanity. This is the agenda, in my opinion, in so many different ways. It's all about control. And these are the measures in which we can the system, the conspiracy agenda, establishes. There is nothing more that substantiates and validates a conspiracy agenda more than the cyber area, the cyber arena. Nothing has. Not even what happened in telling people that things were going to happen in New York before it happened. Not even saying it and then showing it and seeing the event happen in New York.
is more critical to the true advents of cyber wars than what we're the events that we're seeing, as subtle as they appear to be. This was a very thought out, methodical agenda that was backed and augmented by psychological profiling of the general population by ways of diluting people's execution of their free will. They were giving phones away, giving computer, running to everything, ran into computerization of everything because that's what the agenda needed, and people bought it hook, line, and sinker. And this has caused us to be very, very exposed to the ills, the subjugation, the enslavement of the fictitious and fraudulent activities of algorithms, digital algorithms. So wanted to get back to this very, very important. I wanted you to hear this stuff for yourself. Then we can start to look at ways and means and to start to conceptualize how deep this is. This is extremely deep, and it is the probably the most credible threat that we have, and at the opportune moment, the just-in-time delivery system will be hacked. Or they will say it was hacked when it wasn't. That's more of the truth than the hackers itself. They all, every deal you make with the devil, you lose your soul. So let's get back to it.
The Google hack and others like it are state-sponsored.
It's just a matter of time that someone's going to find their way into one of your accounts.
If the Google hack and others like it are state-sponsored, that means the Chinese government is brashly stealing American intellectual property with one hand while making new trade deals with the other. The New York Times and Nicole Perlroth paired with a cybersecurity firm, Mandiant, to track down the physical location of some of the hackers. And they found them in Shanghai, at a PLA unit known only as 61398.
We were able to trace thousands of attacks on U.S. companies and companies in Europe and universities and research companies and think tanks back to this one building in Shanghai. And it was the first time a security firm had publicly pointed to, not just to China, but to a very specific unit of the PLA. There weren't a lot of windows, but it was clear they had some great satellite technology, and it was very well guarded. But other than that, it was completely nondescript. It was not as high-tech as Fort Meade, but it was very clear this was actually a military compound.
To understand 61398, first you have to understand the relationship between business, government, and the military in China. Melissa Chan worked in Beijing as a correspondent for Al Jazeera for 5 years. Her reporting on politically sensitive issues got her kicked out of the country.
Did they give you a rough time when you were there?
They gave me and every foreign reporter a rough time. We all thought the reporting environment in 2012 was pretty bad. That was around the time when I left, and it's just gotten worse, according to foreign reporters still based there.
What do you make of Obama making cybersecurity top of the list when it comes to dealing with China?
I think it indicates how bad that situation is with cyber espionage. Every government has cyber espionage, right? Including the United States. You won't have an American intelligence officer meet with a Fortune 500 company CEO and just hand over that and say, here, this is what we got from the Chinese. But we do know that the Chinese do not see that differentiation. I mean, the thing you have to understand about Chinese companies, even publicly traded companies that are owned by private Chinese, you know, that were started by private Chinese citizens, is that there's a corner office somewhere where there's a Communist Party representative. So the Communist Party is never far away from any Chinese company. There is always a connection to the government.
I spent months trying to speak with Chinese hackers.
And I stopped there because sometimes you got to look between the bull crap. This in all
There is no differentiating between the two. They are all equally worthless because this is what they do. This is a part of controlling people. Thinking that one side is worse than the other and keeping that division has been an effective tool in keeping the general population from seeing the relative value of themselves. Doesn't matter if it's in China or in New York. The controlling authorities of that region work with other controlling authorities so that those controls are never compromised. It's no different. And this is just, they're all one and the same, equally worthless. So let's get back to this, just so you know, in my opinion.
When I finally came close, I was shut down at the last minute. But I did get a glimpse through cybersecurity expert Ian Amit. Amit met with Chinese hackers at a tech conference in China.
We went to what was called ExcalibriCon. A bunch of us as Western security professionals, speaker.
Let me just say this. This is, I hope you see this program for what it really is. There were many programs to get you to think that they were, that one side was working for your benefit. This is what they did with Hollywood. All the world is a stage. One of the things that with war is that all war is deceptive. Don't be deceived. Because if this was truly organic, these people's names and what they've done would not be, you wouldn't know who they are. There's a reason behind them coming out in these things. But we need to know, because I always firmly believe that your wise friend and your foolish friend are equally important. But I would always leverage that the foolish friend is more important than your wise, because your foolish friend will tell you what not to do. And that's the direction you don't want to go. So that's more important to me than the counsel of the wise in some instances. So let's go to back to the program.
These hackers, whatever it is, were invited to speak.
Were you ever offered to work for the Chinese government?
Yeah.
They just came out and asked.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
What was your response?
No. A very nice no, but
right.
Yeah, they had us, you know, they even took us to a tour in a business office building that was empty. And, you know, walked us around, showed us, you know, this can be your office. Do you want the corner office? How many people do you need working for you? And they're not talking about, like, five or six. Like, do you need 50, 60, 100?
The office you would be given.
Yeah. And, again, they built this in a year. 1 year. Everything. Roads.
Ridiculous.
Residential. Again, resources is not a problem. You just have a lot of people build shit.
How do you engage Chinese hackers compared to, you know, let's say the NSA? Are they good?
I would say the same, right? The same level.
Really?
If you assume any less of that, you're a fool.
Then why are they trying to poach American and Israeli?
More. Having a diversity is key in cybersecurity. A lot of times when you bring in people that are not necessarily from your field of expertise can be a huge leverage in terms of your capabilities. I would do the same. I would try to recruit. I would try to tap into whatever resources there are that I'm not aware of that can enhance and enrich my capabilities. If they're grooming their local cyber expertise in-house, if I were on their end, I would try to do the same. I would try to bring in a lot of outside perspective, a lot of different thinking.
Probably the only credible thing that he said, in my opinion.
And a different approach, because that's the key, especially in a game like cybersecurity. You have to be adaptive. You have to be creative.
For innovation.
Exactly, yeah.
Where the loss of American intellectual property was once kept secret, by 2014, the Obama administration was no longer silent. For the first time, the Department of Justice charged Chinese military hackers for breaking into U.S. corporations.
Today we are announcing an indictment against five officers of the Chinese People's Liberation Army for serious cybersecurity breaches against six American victim companies. These represent the first ever charges against known state actors for infiltrating United States commercial targets.
The DOJ put five Chinese hackers on the FBI's most wanted list. All of them officers in the PLA's 61398. John Carlin tracks nation states infiltrating U.S. corporations.
To see the activity from the location of this unit of the PLA 61398, it starts around 9 a.m. And you see the spike in activity. You go to around lunch, they get a little lunch break, and the activity goes down. Then it resumes again until the end of the day. And there seems to be roughly a 9 to 5
government
day.
Job.
A government job. So we just can't, it's not fair to American companies.
And what evidence did you have against them?
We showed specific actions on specific times, on specific dates, and photographs of the individuals as they went into company systems from these dedicated hacker thieves who are going in and day out to steal information.
But they are wearing PLA member uniforms. If this is a nation state attack, why single out individuals?
We're not charging a country for generically doing something bad. We're proving up specific facts against particular people by name, by date. Here's what they did. So in this case, we were able to figure out the name and the face behind the keyboard. And the reason why our companies are getting hammered day in and day out by this type of theft is because the people behind the keyboard think they're anonymous. And these charges show you are not. And the fact is, just because you're wearing a uniform shouldn't give you a free pass when you commit that same type of theft.
China was stealing some of America's most precious intel, the kind of trade secrets that keep economies growing. For some companies, the results were devastating.
Okay, it ceases to ever amaze me, the Washington heads. Here this dude is talking about, even though all of these governments are in one big fraternity against each, against the people of the world. But what was so interesting to me is that with all of the wage of evil that has been perpetuated throughout history of this country on people, has the audacity to charge someone else in the same activities that it's doing, but probably it started doing, first and foremost. They want to have a monopoly on terrorist acts, terrorism, cyber, and control of people. It's amazing. But this is how and why these type of things are on, because the purge is really growing globally. And this is a setup against every single person, in my opinion, in the world. Until we stop giving our energy to these activities, these activities will continue to be a very destructive force in our collective lives, by divide and conquer, by manipulation, subjugation, and it will only end when we dismantle it. And the only way we're going to dismantle it, if we see the prudence, or if we see the importance of us being the way the great creator intended us to be, free and independent. No man can give you that. That can only be a swipe of the hand trick and deception of what the great creator has created. So up to us, as always, as we always say here on Tandem. So let's get back to the last part of the show before we get out of here today.
China's been targeting all sorts of American companies for trade secrets. Daniel McGann is president of American Superconductor, or AMSC. The company specializes in power technologies, such as wind turbines and superconducting wire. In an effort to protect against hacking, they kept their valuable source code on an offline server. But in 2011, one of McGahn's employees took a $2 million bribe to hand over AMSC software code to a state-owned company in China.
Well, welcome to the future.
The story really kind of falls out of a 1960s, 1970s vintage spy movie. The individual was approached, the individual was turned, there was offered money, home, women. The way he was motivated was in the techniques of spycraft. He had a penchant for writing everything down. If you know Skype, he tended to use Skype to be able to communicate and transfer files. So we were able to basically obtain everything from motive to when the transfers happened, who received them, and kind of the end part, they won't need American Superconductor anymore.
What was the fallout?
The fallout was we had a stock that was at about $25, and it went to 12.5 in a day. So we went from about $1.5, $1.6 billion to $800 million in valuation in a day. So the stock completely collapsed. We know we're on a targeted list of a lot of companies in North America, that the Chinese are looking to obtain any valuable technology that they can. So we've had to try to develop a capability to protect such attacks.
So you're saying the People's Liberation Army has targeted your company in hacking operations to steal corporate secrets?
They've been happening since this event, and they've been happening subsequently on a very regular basis. What we've seen is when we've gone back and we've used third parties to try to validate, where did these attacks come from, and the entities that at least that they're telling us are directly linked to the PLA in China, the People's Liberation Army. There is a move within China to do this as part of kind of normal operation of business.
And you think this is sort of a precursor to China trying to overtake America economically?
I don't see it as a precursor. It's happening. The desire is for China to be number one. They have the largest population in the world. Why shouldn't their economy be the largest?
Even after all this, would you still do business in China?
We still do. We still see China as an opportunity. But those products have to be paid for. Customers pay.
To add insult to injury, a wind turbine that was built by China and sold back to the U.S. was running on the stolen source code. AMSC eventually replaced the turbine's controller and software with their own tech.
So this is actually one of the controllers that was stolen?
Yes.
So the software stolen in the actual programming of the turbine?
Yeah.
This turbine's close, but definitely different.
Okay, well, I'm gonna end it there. We have to get out of here today. Hope you learned something today. And I'm going to try to put this all together with you all next week on Tando. I think it's very important that we do, because the exposure and start to break down how we're being exposed. One of the things that I like to do is I like to bring you why you should be preparing. Because every person is different on how you should prepare. Every person has a different temperament. But I would bring you a lot of things here on Tando Radio Show to tell you why you should be preparing. And then you should start to energize how that process should be. Yes, there could be some formal or some fundamental things that can be shared, but everyone's exposure to different things is different. And everyone's ability to see themselves as free and independent is personal. Because that's, in all forms of preparing, that's what you're really nurturing, taking back your existence. Some people only want to take back a small portion. Some want it all. And that's perfectly fine. But as long as your freedom ends where someone else's begins, that's perfect for you, and that's where it should be. I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. This was a pre-recorded show, so we will be back on. I'm not quite sure we'll be back on live tomorrow at the appropriate time, or it will be pre-recorded as well. But There's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give a fortune. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.